distinguishing themselves from aristocracy, corrupt, parasitic, degenerate aristocracy on the one hand, and the what many of them would have referred to as the great unwashed, the working class, on the other. A distinct social group, which by the early 20th century had come to exert virtually hegemonic power over society and culture. The aristocracy was, as we've said, in retreat. One sees this reflected very, very clearly in the literature of the period. If one traces it across the 19th century, it's very interesting. The novels of the early 19th century, one thinks of Jane Austen, for example, or Thackeray, or of people like Stendhal in France. These novels, aimed at a middle-class reading public, the novel, in many respects, was a middle-class art form. It was the great middle-class art form. The readers, everyone understood, publishers, writers, and so on. The people that read novels from all the way through the 19th century were middle class. They also tended to be women. But in these novels, whether in France, in England, a bit later in Germany, this first set of novels dealing, the novels of manners, tend to be novels in which a middle-class protagonist must distinguish himself, free himself from the oppression of aristocratic norms and values. Stendhal's The Red and the Black is a marvelous instance of this. One sees these same sorts of social concerns in Thackeray's Vanity Fair, or even in Goethe's Sorrows of Young Werther, written at the end of the 18th century. But as the century progresses, the social conflict within the novels also changes. By the middle of the 19th century, there is less emphasis on the aristocracy as representatives of oppression, the aristocracy as roadblocks to the triumph of merit, and so on. And instead, one gets a rather different take on middle-class society. Dickens is not worried about aristocracy in his novels. It is often the oppression of a middle-class society. If one looks at Balzac's great novels from the 1830s and 40s, and they are absolutely wicked commentaries on French society, a more devastating portrait of the July monarchy of Louis-Philippe could not be found. Balzac's Cousin Bette or Père Goriot, Lost Illusions, all lampoon mercilessly the foolishness of any bourgeois who attempts to take on aristocratic airs, but also lampoons the pretensions of middle-class society. A little after mid-century, the lampooning of Balzac turns into a far more serious analysis of middle-class values and middle-class society in the works of someone like Flaubert. Madame Bovary is not only a depiction of the oppression of women, it is also a depiction of the oppressiveness of middle-class society in a small French provincial town. The depiction of business and the dominance of business in middle-class thinking in something like Dickens's Dombey and Son went straight to the point. By the end of the 19th century, then, novels addressed to middle-class audiences took on a rather different theme. If in the first part of the century it was emancipation from aristocratic values and norms, and at mid-century it was how does one deal with the oppressiveness created by one's own middle-class values, the stultifying nature of bourgeois society for middle-class people themselves, especially women. By the end of the century, one began to get a new theme emerges in these novels, and that tends to be the individual overwhelmed by the oppressive power of society, bourgeois society, but now it's not simply middle-class people who are overwhelmed by this hegemonic bourgeois life, but also the working class. If one thinks of the devastating novels of Zola depicting the conditions of the working class in France. Germinal is the best example. Or of the work of Gerhard Hauptmann in Germany, The Weavers, depicting the conditions of weavers before the Revolution of 1848, that was a commentary on the condition of the working class in the Imperial Germany in the 1890s. These are works which pose a critique of the very dominance of this great successful middle-class capitalist society,